Hello, you are listening to the teaching of Dr. Tony Evans. This sermon is entitled The Paternity of Prayer and is from the series The Lord's Prayer. Discover what God has to say to you through His Word, found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, which says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." Enjoy the message.
He says in Matthew 6, and don't be like those who use meaningless repetition. Not repetition, meaningless repetition. They can say the words without thinking the thoughts. There is no heart behind the language. They're mainly saying words they've been taught to say. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. But there's no meaning behind the message. He says, now when you pray, pray in this way, verse 9 says. In this complimentary passage in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we are told that this discussion came as a result of a question. The disciples asked Jesus, would you teach us to pray? Now that's very interesting, because they never asked Jesus to teach them to preach. They never asked Jesus to teach them to witness. They never asked Jesus to teach them to do some of the things we spend so much time learning how to do. But they did ask Jesus to teach them to pray. Because the text says they watched him pray. And when they saw the intimacy between the Son and the Father, and when they saw what the Father did for the Son, they said, we have to get in on that. Teach us to pray. How do we make contact with the holy? How do men get in touch with God? Teach us to pray. Now, we call this the Lord's Prayer. It's not actually the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord could never pray this prayer. It would be impossible for the Lord to pray this prayer. For you see, in the midst of the prayer, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or to put it another way, forgive us our sins. Jesus could never pray that prayer, for he was the spotless Lamb of God. It is more accurately the disciples' prayer. It's simply Jesus teaching disciples how to make contact with God. The prayer is split in two. The first half focuses on God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Then it moves to us. Give us daily bread. Forgive us transgressions. Lead us not into temptation. Then it closes with God. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You want to know how to pray? That's how you pray. It's like a sandwich. You started with God, you ended with God, and you become the meat in the middle. They want to know how to make contact with God, he tells them. Because they saw that prayer was for Jesus much like breathing. They saw that prayer was much like breathing. It was something that Jesus had to make it. Mark 1 records the busiest day in the life of Jesus, and it says he got up earliest to pray. He was desperate for contact with the Father. Now, we're looking at this line by line. We are analyzing this prayer so that we will know how to pray. How do you start? Well, here's how you start. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's so much here. I told my son what I was going to preach on tonight. He said, how are you going to get 30 minutes out of that? I went into it a little bit with him, and he said, oh. Can we start off with the word hour? We could take an hour on hour. Our Father, not my Father. You're not an only child in this family. The Father wants you to know that when you come to Him, there are siblings involved. He's our Father, not just your Father. Now that becomes very important because it means that God never relates to you apart from others. You're not an isolated kid in this family. I am not. We are interconnected with our brothers and our sisters. Now that's very important. If you are a parent, you know it's important because you know what it is to buy a toy for your three children. And this one gets this toy, this one gets this toy, this one gets that toy. They all have their toys, but nobody wants to share. You have to insist that while I gave it to you and while you bear primary responsibility, this is a family, folks. Which simply means this in your praying. Your daddy, when you go to him, wants to not only know what you want him to do to you, but what you're also willing for him to do through you so that the siblings benefit, because he's our Father. He is the father of a family. He is the father of a group of people. You can't be selfish in prayer. There's another factor you need to know. Only believers can pray. He's not everybody's father. Jesus said in John chapter 8 to the leaders of his day, you are of your father, the devil. And while there is the understanding that God is the creator of all men, he is not the daddy of all men. To become a son of God, you must be born again. John 1:12, as many as received him, he gave them power to become children of God. If you deny the Son, you can't have the Papa. He is the father of believers. Because Jesus Christ, the Savior, is the only one who can grant you access to the Father. Many of us have access codes. We have alarm codes on our house. I don't indiscriminately hand out that code, but I tell you who has it, my children, because they have access to their father's house. Not only does our mean that we're tied to a family, not only does it mean it's only for believers, but it means that we get to join Jesus in prayer because he's our father. Jesus included himself. In fact, he says in John chapter 20, verse 17, I am going to my Father and yours, our Father. And he is as in love with you as he is with me because we're both his offspring. Uniquely different, yet still recognize him as Father. So our, you know what else that means? You have equal access. As I do. He doesn't have favorite kids. If you're in the family, you bear the name, and so you have the access to the same Papa. Our Father. Father. He said, when you pray, pray this way. Pray like this, in accordance with this pattern. When you pray, you are not simply going to God, you're going to Daddy. You're going to your Father. This was a new concept for the readers of the Old Testament in Jesus' day because you didn't approach God as Father. He was the great, awesome, transcendent ones. In fact, they wouldn't even pronounce his full name lest they mess it up because he was way out there. They didn't understand his desire is to be Father. Now, this can be a difficult concept in a world where people grow up without fathers or where they grow up with bad dads. Then father may not mean very much. But Jesus says that prayer is an opportunity to connect with Dad. because it's a family issue. The fact that Jesus or that God is our Father changes prayer. The whole dynamic, there is not this, oh God, and speaking in such heavenly language that even he doesn't know what you mean. It's Father. When you have a father, I mean a real father, somebody who loves you and cares for you and looks out for you and protects you and disciplines you, you have, number one, somebody you can trust. You know why? Because when you have a real father, your welfare is always on his mind. If he's a real father, you can trust him. In fact, you can trust his heart even when you can't figure out his hand. There are many times when my father did things I didn't understand, but I trusted my father. And when I didn't understand his hand, because I could trust his heart, I always knew my interests were part of the calculation. I know that God is difficult to understand. I know the things that he allows, the things that he causes, the delayed and answered prayer, when you know he has all of this power, all of this strength, all of this glory, can be difficult to cogitate. I understand that. But when you don't understand his hand, remember his heart. He's Father. And not only is he Father, he's a perfect Father. Jesus talked to them later on in this chapter about worrying. He said, don't worry. Did you know it's a sin to worry? It's a sin to worry. I know some of you think, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. Well, look, if it's keeping you up at night, you're worried. If it's bringing you bad health, you're worried. If it's depressing you continuously, you're worried. He says in verse 31 of the same chapter, don't be anxious, worried, saying, what am I going to eat? That is, how am I going to make it? What am I going to drink? With what will I be clothed? How am I going to make it? He said, don't do that. Why shouldn't I do it? He says, because you're not like the folks who aren't kids. Verse 32, all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. They have to break their necks to worry about it because they don't have daddy. For your, watch this, heavenly father. Now I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Not your father, your heavenly father. Knows that you have need of all of these things. Seek ye first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. He says, don't worry because you know daddy. When is the last time you've seen a worried bird? Anybody ever seen a bird sweat? Anybody ever see a bird with high blood pressure? Anybody ever see a bird with nerves trembling? No. You know, birds just know. When they get up tomorrow, they're going to get something to eat. There's going to be a worm somewhere. They just know there's going to be a worm somewhere. And Jesus says, now, if God knows the sparrows that are cheap, he says, they're cheap, 2 for a penny, aren't you not more valuable than they? We're talking about your daddy here. You're talking about your daddy. It means you don't have to worry. It means you don't have to be afraid. It means in the most difficult hour, in the moments that you don't understand, as painful as those moments are, in an act of faith, you have to say about daddy, Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He's daddy. But if he's daddy, it means he's in charge. Men like to go around saying, I'm the head of the home. Right? I'm daddy. If he's daddy, that means he makes the final decisions. Yes, we can make our plea, daddy, I want this. Daddy, I want that. But because daddy's dealing with the whole family, sometimes he'll say yes, sometimes he'll say no, because he has prerogative of fatherhood. And even a good father takes that prerogative. Even a good father says no. Even a good father says not now. Even a good father says wait. He's a father. If he's a father, he disciplines, doesn't he? Hebrews 12 says, whom the Lord loveth, he spanketh. He skinneth alive. Because he's father. And fathers discipline. They don't spank the neighbor's kids. They spank their own. He says, and if the Lord does not spank you, it's because you're none of his. He's not your father. So it means discipline. It also means protection if he's father. If he's father, he's going to cover you and he's going to go to the nth degree to seek your welfare. Let me give you one other benefit of father, that he is our father. You know what that means? That means availability. My kids can always get through to me. The busiest times, the busiest of meetings, they have a number because I'm father. They can get through to me. I've said to my assistant, whenever the family calls, put them through. May not be able to talk to them long, may have to tell them, I call them back, but I wanted them to know that 5,000 members don't get in the way of being a father. It can't interfere with that role. Pastor cannot get in the way of being a father. Let me tell you some good news. Being God of the universe doesn't get in the way of him being father. And even though he's got millions and millions and millions of kids that he must govern, he's still daddy. And you can get through. Our father. I think that's enough for that phrase. Which art in heaven? Which art in heaven? He's not only father, he's the heavenly father. That is, he's not an earthly father. He's a father whose throne is in heaven. To put it another way, heaven is his headquarters. It is where he operates his fathering from. Now, every father, how many fathers do we have here this evening? There you have your father. A lot of fathers. Now, if your wife is sitting next to you, help me, ladies. What's the favorite place for a father to be? Well, how about in the den looking at television? All right. It could be in the bed looking at television. It could work that way. What fathers like to do is run the whole house from that one chair. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Is that right? They want to run the whole house. Now, I can't personally identify with it, but I've heard that this is the case. Want to run the whole house. Well, fathers, actually, I have some good news for y'all out there. And the good news is that they now have a piece of electronic equipment that allows you to control your whole house from the Lazy Boy. From the Lazy Boy recliner, you can run your whole world. If you want to make sure the doors are locked, you just push the button of this Panzer 1000 and it'll lock the doors, turn off the light, turn off the television, turn on the television. It will turn on the appliances. It will run the whole house. Whatever your wife wants you to do, you just pick up the remote. And without ever leaving your throne, in the den. You can run the whole house. Guess what God does? He runs the whole universe from his chair. From where he sits in heaven, he is able to manage all the affairs of all the children who make up his house. Now, why do you need to know that he is your father located in heaven? Why do you need to know? Because that means he is not subject to the limitations of earth. That's why. That's why it's important. It's important as we pray for our sisters and our brother who is ill, for them to know that earth does not have the final say-so. All of us knows what it is to go to our earthly fathers who could not help us, even if they wanted to help us, even if they tried to help us, because they had the limitations of earth. But we have a father who is in heaven. He is not limited to earth. That's a different kind of daddy. You and I have been adopted into another family, a spiritual family that operates in a heavenly sphere. You and I need to know that. You need to know that he operates from a throne, our father. See, it makes a difference if your father is the governor. It makes a difference if your father is the president. This came home to me here recently. My granddaughter, Crystal's daughter, Karis, was being corrected for something, I don't even know what it was, she was doing over in the Family Life Center. She was doing something she should not have been doing, and someone was correcting her. No, Karis. To which Karis responded in her own inimitable way, much like her mother did as she grew up. Do you know who my father is? Or Poppy is what she called. Do you know who my Poppy is? Now this is, I guess then, six years old or 7 years. Do you know who my Poppy is? He is the pastor. Pulling rank. Do you know who your daddy is? He is God Almighty, King of the U. That's who your daddy is. That's your daddy. And when you got that kind of daddy, you can pull rank. You can pull rank over the devil. You can pull rank over people. You can pull rank over problems. You can pull rank over situations, because that is your daddy. Because he is in heaven. And Daniel chapter 4 says, heaven rules earth. Heaven is vast. Scientists have come up with 15 new galaxies that they've discovered recently. And galaxies involve light years away. This is billions and billions of years to get to another galaxy if you were going by a ship. Think of that. Millions and billions of years to travel across space, and our daddy rules it all. And he's daddy. He's not just God, he's daddy. He's not just this great power out there. He's not simply the force, he's your daddy. Jesus says, when you pray, say daddy. In Revelation 8, it says, and another angel, verse 3, came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he might add to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saint went up before God out of the angel's hands. When we pray to our Father, it is delivered before the throne in heaven. That's why Jesus would pray. He knew who the Father was. Our Father, who art in heaven. Here it is. Hallowed be thy name. This is where we close. Hallowed be thy name. Because of who our daddy is, hallowed be thy name. Jesus prayed because he always wanted to see what heaven was up to, because that let him know how he was to function on earth. He always wanted to be in touch with up there, since up there ruled down here. The disciples saw that and they said, would you teach us to do that? Would you teach us to connect up there so that we know how to make it in the mess down here? Prayer helps you to make it in the mess of earth because it gives you the direction of heaven. Hallowed is from the same root word that you get the word holy or sanctify or sanctification. It means to set apart as unique or special. To put it another way, God, I just want you to know, we know you are in a class by yourself. Did any of you here have daddies you were proud of and that you bragged on? My daddy this and my daddy that and my daddy can beat your daddy. You know what you were saying? My daddy's special. That's what you were saying. My daddy is not like other daddies. He is a unique, one-of-a-kind daddy. Our God and our Father is awesome, which means nothing else is. He is in a class by himself. To hallow God is to put him in the place he deserves. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set him apart as unique. He is not one of the boys. I know my father did this. I wonder if your father did this. Put you back in your place when you got too familiar. One day I went home and called my father Arthur. Called him by his first name. He said, I'm trying to find out who you're talking to. Get too familiar, to lose the transcendence of our God. He says, hallowed, set apart as unique or special. I like the way the psalmist says in Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3, when he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. The psalmist says in Psalm 16:8, I have continually set the Lord before me. We hollow God's name. You know, we're used to hollowing names. We hollow stars all the time. When you hollow somebody, you go through extra lengths to get near them, extra lengths to get close to them, extra lengths just to get a glimpse from the distance, because there is a star in the house. You ain't seen a star like this one. Put him in a category all by himself. We hallow God when we rehearse who he is, when we just remind ourselves of who he is, then when we submit to who he is, then when we illustrate who he is by how we function, when we bring him glory as our passion in life, we hallow him. He says, hallow his name. Hallow, set apart as special, unique, his name. Okay, I know his name, God or Father, whatever. No. In the Bible, names meant more than what the word was you called something. That was not how names were used in the Bible. Names always were designed to reflect the character of the thing of which it spoke. It would be more like our use of nicknames. We use it more like nicknames. For example, if I said, hey, Slim, what does that tell you about the person I just called? Look like a stick, right? Skinny. Because the nickname is not just the name, it is descriptive of the person behind the name. If I looked out and said, hey, Chubby, what would that tell you? A little on the plump side, right? Because chubby is more than a name, it's a description. If I looked out and say, what say, Red? What does that tell you? They've got red hair or real reddish kind of skin, because I am describing something. In fact, our son Jonathan got his name that way. See, Jonathan was a surprise. So when we went through the name in the book, we came across the name Jonathan, which means gift of God. He got his name tied to the fact that he was unplanned, and therefore we looked at him as a special gift. That's how names were used in the Bible. That's why when something graphic happened in a person's life or at a special place, it was given a name or a new name. Remember, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, from trickster to blessing, because there was something else happening now, and so he got another name. So when you see the word name, you want to go beyond what it is called to the reason it's called that. There is a description. There is something behind the name that gives the name significance. When the Bible says, "Hallowed be thy name," what it is in fact saying is, we are to set apart as special the unique character and characteristics of God. Or to put it another way, the name of God is the sum total of his characteristics. The name of God is his attribute or attributes. The name of God consists of his perfections. It is simply a way of describing what he is like. Now, that's why when you read the Bible, God has many names. All the time, it's not evident in the English, but in the Greek text or the Hebrew text, you will see a lot of names. You say, well, then which one is his real name? Answer? All of them. It just depends on the mess you're in. To put it another way, God has a name that fits every situation. He has a name that can relate to wherever you are. That's what I like about the fluidity of God. And that is that he has adjustable names. He has names that can relate to the different situation. And while God, our generic statement, is that all-encompassing word, that word God is attached to so many other names, it's unbelievable. For example, he's called in Genesis 1 Elohim. That is the creator God. Elohim talks about the power or the strength. And don't you have to have a strong God who can speak the word and worlds come into existence? But let me tell you something about Elohim. God did not only create the worlds, but theologians put it this way. He created the worlds ex nihilo. Ex nihilo means out of nothing. It means he didn't have raw material to work with. He didn't have anything he could use that was already in existence as raw material to make the world. So he created, watch this, something out of nothing. Now let me tell you why you need to know his name is Elohim. Because there are going to be situations in your life when there is no way, no how. When God's going to have to create something out of nothing. When there is no raw material to work with. When the doctors have no medicine that they can use, you're going to have raw material, and then you need to know his name. It's Elohim. He's got another name. It's called El Elyon. And El always refers to God. That simply means the most high God. That means he's way up here. To put it another way, when everything in your life is out of order, chaotic, confusing, disconcerting, disjointed, you need to know God's got a name called El Elyon, which means that he is on top of the mess that's messy to you. While it may be confusing to you, he's in the helicopter and it looks fine to him. So when you know his name is El Elyon, you can say to God, I'm in a mess down here, but since you got it well organized up there, I'm going to let you handle it, El Elyon. He's called El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the Lord God Almighty. That has to do with God's strength. When you are at your weak point, when you do not have any get up and go, when your get up and go is gotten up and gone, and there is no strength yet left. God says, you have not exhausted your resources. My name is El Shaddai. I am a strong one for the weak, for the weary, for the one who wants to throw in the towel. I am El Shaddai. He says, my name is El Roar. El Roar means the Lord who sees. So if you think you hide, if you think nobody's watching, you need to know, because you have certainly forgotten his name. His name is El Roar. He not only sees what you're doing, he sees what folk are doing to you. He's well aware of those smoke-filled rooms. He's well aware that they're plotting against you at the office. He's well aware that they're trying to undercut you and they're trying to mess over you. But don't get all bent out of shape, because you remember his name. His name is El Roar. You're running around trying to find out what he say here and what he say there and what they're talking about over there. And I wonder what they're going to do. God says, have you forgotten my name? I'm in the meeting. My name is El Roar. He's got a name. It's called El Olam, the everlasting God. Time is no problem to him. You are in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. He's not in a hurry. He's got all the time in the world. So he's going to take the time to use the time to do the best with the time that he determines ought to be done, because he's El Olam. He's also El Barith, the God of the covenant. He keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. When the promises look like they failed, they haven't failed. When they've taken a long time, when he doesn't seem like he's kept his word, he's keeping his word. And that's why we walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, you know this word, Jehovah. Jehovah was the concept when he gave Moses. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? He said, you tell him I am, that I am sent you. You tell him that the self-existent one, or to put it another way, you tell him the one sent you that doesn't need any help. He doesn't need any assistance. He's God all by himself. So when you say all I have is God, guess what you just said? All I have is everything I need, because he doesn't need any help. But look at this. He's not only Jehovah, he's Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who supplies. If you have a need and nobody's helping you with the need, and you go to Jehovah, he's not just Jehovah, he's Jehovah Jireh. So he's Jehovah with your need. He can supply when there is no supply. He's Jehovah. Somebody praying with me tonight. He's not only Jehovah Jireh, he's Jehovah Shalom. Shalom means peace. When things are chaotic in your soul, he can make peace like a river overwhelm you. He can bring calm when there's disturbance. He can bring rest when you can't go to sleep. Because he's Jehovah Shalom. Guess what? He's Jehovah Nissa. The Lord is my banner. The banner was raised when the army was going for victory, because the enemies were climbing the hill. If there's an enemy trying to get you and take you down, remember his name. Jehovah Nissa, the Lord is your victory. He's also Jehovah Roha. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When you're lost and don't know which way to go, you have a decision and you don't know which one to make, remember his name is Jehovah. It is Jehovah Roha. He's also Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is our healer. When you are sick, the doctors have a word. They don't have the last word. The doctors have a word. They don't have the final word, because the Lord is your healer. He's the Jehovah Sabaoth. That's the Lord of hosts. That means he's got all the angels ready to be sent to deal with whatever he wants dealt with. He's also Jehovah Shemaiah. The Lord is near unto thee. So that means you're never alone. Single, you may not be dating them, but you're never alone. You may not be married yet, but you're never alone. And some who are married think they're alone, but you're never alone, because he is Jehovah Shammah. He is also Jehovah Tsekinu, which means the Lord is my righteousness. When I sin, he covers me with his righteousness. He is my righteousness. You say, what do I do with all of this? Well, let's find another name. Adonai. That name means he is Lord. So I'm going to bow down at the feet of this Father. I'm going to bow down at the feet of this God. Now, some of you may say, Pastor, I can't remember all those names. I can't remember El Elyon and El Shaddai and El Roi. I can't remember all that. Well, the old folks would simply say, he's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's a bomb in Gilead. The old folks would say, he's so wide you can't get around him. He's so high you can't get over him. He's so low you can't get under him. They say he's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. He's a bridge over troubled water. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a mother to the motherless. He's whatever you need. You don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to know Greek. But you need to know English. He's God, a very God. He's your heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's stand up and praise our Father for his greatness and his glory, his power and his majesty.
I trust you are challenged by this message from the series, The Lord's Prayer. And if you would like to order any additional helpful resources, please contact us at 1-800-800-3222 or visit us online at tonyevans.org. This has been a production of The Urban Alternative, presenting the expository teaching of Dr. Tony Evans.